way, but I mean, I'm open to hearing why they need more money for it, and if all the grants were grant avenues were exhausted, do you know what I mean? Like making sure all places that needed they want. I'm stumbling. I would just have to hear it more, hear more about it before I can totally answer.
All right, thanks, Lindy. And James, you're next. Same question. What is your position on the proposed wellness center at this point?
I don't think the school has any business being involved in the wellness center. There's a couple legal aspects of it that I don't know if everybody's aware of, but you can't have one entity tax and then spend that taxing money for someone else. So you can't say the school tax and then say we're going to fund with that tax money the wellness center for the city. I don't think that a wellness center is a direct benefit to the students. I don't see it as being a nexus. I see it, if they make it what it, I have heard it's been proposed as a community wellness center that they potentially want to propose and build in the little area between the schools. I see that as a one, the school board would be shirking their fiduciary duties as their primary responsibility is the schools. At some day and point in the future that we can't predict, we have to expand. We have a building flood out. We have a fire, and we got to build a new middle school, or we got to build a new elementary school or something. Where does the school have land to do that? They have it right there. That's what we have. They should be looking out for the schools. They should be looking out for the students, and they should be looking out for that and those facilities, not a community wellness center. It seems to fly in the face that of when you talk about security and you want to talk about keeping kids safe, and you create a attraction and a draw right in the middle of the high school and the elementary school, where we're going to pull people, and it won't just be local people. It'll be open to people to come into. And so you're going to have people from all over. Is somebody going to background check some of those people? No. So you're going to create more of a traffic flow issue. You're going to create more of an issue with people coming in and accessing our schools. And I, without getting into details, but there are significant security risks at our schools that have been there since I've been back 10 years. And they've been pointed out before, and they've never been addressed, and they've got to be addressed.
All right, thanks, James. Next is Joe Hand. Again, same question, Joe. What is your position right now on the proposed wellness center?
Well, I kind of agree. We don't really have the budgeting, I don't feel, but I have not seen any numbers or plans or anything. So I just feel that the community and the city together would maybe be making for a disaster. A community wellness center, I think, would be great if the community wants to pay for it and not include the school. The school has enough on its plate as far as financial responsibilities. So I'm kind of leaning towards no. Thank you.
And the question finally goes again to Shane. Shane Keim, your position on the proposed wellness center as it stands.
First of all, I don't think the wellness center has anything to do with the school issues that we're talking about. The wellness center, as I hear from people around town, whatever, and for our kids, I'm hearing there's a need for it. In my opinion, if the city wants to build a wellness center and do that for the public, and there's a possibility there that the school could rent space time from the wellness center as we need it, I would support that. But I support it in no way of putting it on our school grounds. just because I know who would end up funding a lot of the faculty to take care of it, the custodial stuff. We have a parking lot issue already. And if you were to put the wellness center where some people would have projected it, there's not parking for our own sporting events. The public's coming in and out of there. Who's going to be responsible for that? As James brought up, said, who's going to be responsible for the security? And I don't want the school to have that responsibility.
All right. Thanks, Shane. And next, we'll have James answer our next question first as we go through the Valentine Community Schools Candidates Forum. What is your understanding for the chain of command, and what level of importance in that chain of command with the Valentine Community Schools Board and its the faculty at Valentine Schools being followed?
Well, having recently just been through this whole situation, if the way it stands out in the policy is, if a student has a problem with a teacher, they're supposed to go to that teacher or coach, try to address it. They can't address it, then they need to send a letter requesting a meeting with the teacher or the coach. And then the parents go and have a meeting with the teacher and the coach and someone else from the school. And if you don't get resolution there, then you send another letter and you go and have a meeting with the principal. If you don't get resolution there, then you go and have a meeting with the superintendent. If you don't get resolution there, then you can bring it to the school board. You know, I've been involved in organizations where there's a chain of command, and there's an importance to that chain of command. And that's because there are things that have to happen. But when you make the process so difficult for parents to get through, and when you go to a meeting and you realize, you know what, I just sat through two meetings and I am getting absolutely nowhere. And the people are, they're well, you know, there are things we just can't talk about. There's things we can't address, you know, well, that, you know, that that's their decision. You know, and I tried to express to someone the other day that, you know, it's not about the decision they make. It's about the actions that they take after that decision and about the responsibility and how we develop these kids. And when we take a kid and we just crush them down because we think they're too busy or they're too overly involved in stuff, and, you know, they're just not going to have time. And we don't, we tell them that, you know, you're being entitled when you think that, you know, well, gosh, I put the work in. I'd like to discuss this. No, you're being entitled. Well, that's a bunch of horse booey. You know, the chain of command is there, I think, to insulate people and to insulate the board a little bit. And I can tell you, if I'm on that school board, I may not be able to resolve the issue for you, but by gosh, everybody could come to me and bring the issue up, and I will help you go through the process. I will point you where you need to go, and we will get a resolution to the issue. I'm tired of all of this stuff where really good kids, we had an incident where a really good kid got kicked out of school for a really stupid reason. A kid that goes to church, kid that goes all the time, he's a great kid, and nobody walked him through the process of how to appeal it. And they went, oh, we want to appeal that. Oh, sorry, it's been too long, too much time. He's out. You know, you just took a kid that's he's in church every Sunday and devastated his high school career, possibly affected the rest of his life. We need to have somebody in there that advocates for these kids and advocates for the parents. Thank you.
Thanks, James. Same question to you, Joe. What's your understanding of the chain of command? And again, second of the two-part question, what is the level of importance of that chain of command being followed?
Well, in my experience, I feel like our chain of command works quite well because I feel like 90% of the situations are resolved if they go to the first person that, or the coach or teacher that they have the problem with. There's rare instances where you have to go follow the chain of command and go to the principal. And in my experience, it's resolved a lot there. In certain extreme cases, it comes back down to the superintendent. They try to resolve it there. And I feel there's, most of the time, it's resolved there. We don't hardly ever have anybody come to the board because that's, we're just there to oversee and take care of circumstances that can't be resolved within the administration. Thank you.
And again, the same question to you, Shane. Shane Keim, what do you feel is your understanding, anyway, of the chain of command, and what is the importance of that chain of command being followed?
Well, there is a chain of command. It goes, just as it's been brought up, it goes through the teacher and then to the principal. And yes, there's letters that have to be wrote, and then to the superintendent. And then if the board, if it goes farther, the board has to take action. That can happen. I think it's really important that you have that chain of command, because there's six people on the board. And if each board member thinks that they can take care of these issues without going through the proper chain of command in the school, I think you're walking on grounds for all kinds of litigation, actually. So that's why we have these policies in place, that we go through them. And actually, we have been through a situation, yes. And we actually delivered for probably an hour and a half on how to resolve it when it finally comes as far as the board. And in my opinion, it was our admin handled it great all the way through it. And there's rules. There, we have policy for certain reasons, and it has to be followed. And when you start given or taken what you feel for this kid or another kid, you have to be really careful with that. And every school board meeting, we have time that for public comment, and they can bring those in, and they will be heard by the board and by the administration. And that's where they can start. Thank you.
And finally, to Lindy Elliott, the same question. Again, it's a two-part question. Your understanding of the chain of command, and also the level of importance of that chain of command being followed.
Yeah, so the chain of command is super important because it is there for a reason. We, like, it's student, teacher, principal, superintendent, board. I mean, if I'm not saying don't come to me, if I am on the board, because I'm definitely there for an ear. But also, the chain of command is there for a reason. It needs, people need accountability to hold for their jobs. And if their job is just skipped over, that like defeats the purpose of a chain of command. So I would gladly encourage whatever issue to be like, I will push it back to, did you go through all of these steps before coming to me to do that? And then if it escalates to where it needs to be on the board, it is also important that the board takes responsibility for helping when needed to be. So, the answer.
All right, there's another question, and I'm actually going to defer this over to Mike. You are a little bit more familiar with this that came to me as far as the lunches.
This was a big topic in the May forum that you guys were all part of as well then. But has there been anything talked about again on, is there enough time for lunch and breakfast? Is there adequate amounts of food? Is the, I mean, has that been addressed that when you guys came back into session and through the summer months or anything?
Okay, so Joe, we'll give you the first chance to address that question.
I guess I don't really know. I feel like I know they can purchase seconds, right? They can, if they're still hungry, they have more, they can purchase seconds or and as far as time goes, I haven't heard anybody really say anything about the timeliness of lunch.
I remember at the May forum, that was one of the topics that came up, was talking about is breakfast, is it 10 or 15 minutes or something to eat breakfast? Was that enough time to get to school, eat your breakfast, and then be off to classes and stuff? So I didn't know if that had been addressed, that expanding that time by 2.5 minutes or something like that.
I don't think we'd ever discussed that at a board meeting, so I would have to pass out on Shane.
And we'll do that. We'll hand the microphone over to Shane. Shane Keim, where are we at Valentine Community Schools for the time allowed and the portions and whatnot as far as those, the lunches and also the breakfasts are concerned for students?
Well, it hasn't been brought up as far as a agenda item or anything on the at any of our board meetings. And, you know, it's so hard to determine what is enough proportion or what is not. I mean, some kids leave food on their plate. Some kids eat that and eat the food that's left on the other kid's plate. And so I think it's hard to address. The time, you know, I think if they sit down and eat, I think there's plenty of time. And like I said before in the first form, as far as breakfast goes, you know, my kids go to country school and we get up and feed them in the morning before they go to school, and that's kind of our protocol. But there has been, what we have discussed at the school board meeting is, I mean, there was a significant increase in the cost of the meals. And so with that, we discussed it, we passed it, but one of the things that the, I guess I don't want to say names, but the vendor that we go through, they agreed to put plenty out on the salad bar that the kids can freely go through. So that can help with maybe if you're at a loss with some proportion, that is one place maybe you can get some more food.
And Lindy, same question. Where are we at as far as school lunches and breakfast, and what are your thoughts on how that should be handled in the future?
I can't say much about the breakfast, but like from my personal experience with Annie in school, I usually pack her lunch just because she's a kindergartner, and I think she's kind of a chatterbox like her mom. But when I pack her lunch, I can kind of tell how much she's ate, and I'll ask her why she didn't eat her whatever I packed her. And she's like, well, I run out of time, Mom. And I'm always like, were you talking the whole time, or did you actually sit there to eat? Oh, I ate. It was just time to go so fast. So, I mean, she's also six, so take that with, you know, her age. But I also am not sure for sure if that's enough time for, I mean, the littler ones. If the bigger ones are a little more like nappy about eating, maybe they're, I don't know. But it could be something to look at, I guess. And if not, maybe pack their lunch so they can eat faster or have a little more time to eat instead of standing in line. That would be an option too. So, yeah.
And finally to James, same question. Your thoughts, kind of a general overview on school lunches and breakfast.
Well, when you're regarding school lunches and breakfast, I kind of have to default to those with more experience and knowledge than I have. And when I say that, I'm talking about my senior, my sophomore, my seventh grader, and my fifth grader. My seventh grader, she probably doesn't have enough time. My sophomore, so-so. Lunches are, you know, they're good. We're all right on time. My senior, she's pretty cut and squared away. She's good to go. So I think it depends on the age of the kid. I think it depends on the age of our children that are and where they're at in school. I think the school has done a pretty good job. You know, it's like anything else. Some kids like some of the meals. Some kids don't like some of the meals. My girls pack their lunches a lot. Because there's something on the menu that we don't like today. My son very rarely packs a lunch because, you know, he's kind of like me. food.
You eat it.
I think the school's done a good job. You know, it's like it was said, there's a fine line that's got to be walked. You know, it costs a lot to feed kids, and those costs keep going up every year. And that's where the school has got to watch that budget. You know, and I want to say one thing. You know, that was addressed earlier. You know, about the policy and stuff. I just want everyone to remember, policy is not law. State of Nebraska dictates the law. The legislature dictates the law. Policy is written by the local board.
All right, and it looks like that's about all of the questions I had in front of me. Mike, were there any questions that were brought to you during the forum?
I do not have any that were brought. If anybody's got questions, we can do that. One final quick question that maybe I could ask the forum here, and first of all, thank you all for being here. What about, we hear so much about inappropriate things getting into school systems, whether it's books or programs or whatever. And I'd like to just maybe get a quick little response from you guys on how do you make sure those kind of things don't get into the school? And is it the school board's job to review those things and say, no, this is something that we don't want?
Okay, so we'll start with Shane.
Well, actually, yeah, we at the school, we've actually put a panel together, and it consists of school board members or member. I think one member, can't remember for sure, but parents, teacher, and I believe an admin. And anything that's addressed with this, the panel, everyone in the panel goes through this. So it's not just the school, it's the public, it's the parents. Everything that we go through if we think that there is something or we've been reported to our teachers, our admin or whatever, if anything is reported to, then this panel actually takes that book or whatever propaganda or whatever it may be, and they go through it and they address it. So I think it's being handled very well.
Okay.
And Lindy?
Yeah, it sounds like there's already things in place to make sure things are keeping our morals and our children safe from learning things that they don't need to learn at too young of an age. And having a select board in quotes, I guess I should say, members on that, you want to call it a committee maybe? To make sure all the things are safe and sound, that I would hope that would stay in place and make sure everybody's super vigilant on the things that are exposed to our children.
And next is James Ward. Same question.
Well, I think it's important to ever remember that it wasn't always that way. You know, people weren't always reviewing it. They didn't always have that board, I don't believe. It's kind of been new, but I think it's a good positive step forward. I think it's important that we have, you know, a variety of people on it because, you know, what one person thinks is, you know, I think I'm pretty sure Hillary Clinton thinks Ronald Reagan's policies books were inappropriate, but, you know, we've got to have people that are cognizant of what we're taking out, and it's got to be reviewed, and it just has to be. We have to keep some of that stuff out of the school. There just has no place in school. You know, the kids are exposed to so much already. I mean, every one of us parents that's been unfortunate enough to have to give our kids a cell phone, you know, it's not about giving your kids access to the world. It gives the world access to your kids. And that's a scary thought of what they can find out there.
And Johan.
Well, as I said on the last forum, I was, as secretary of the school board, I'm sign the claims, and if I see a claim for library books, I go through that with a fine-tooth comb, and I look at all the titles, and if a title kind of brings a question to me, I will get online and look up that book to make sure it's appropriate for our students. I want to keep our innocence as long as possible to our students, and any publications that don't belong in our schools, I think our board works well with the administration and teachers to keep them out of our schools.
All right, next, I guess, is just going to be a follow-up on that. What is the school board's role at this point in making sure that the curriculum itself is appropriate for 2024, 2025, and moving forward? So we'll start with Lindy for that question. Yeah, what is the role at this point in making sure that the curriculum is appropriate as well?
Yeah, so just being super aware of what is the curriculum, I guess. I have a question for you guys that are on the board. Like, do you get a copy kind of the curriculum that is proposed, or is there like a public place you can find it, I guess you could say? Just to know what our students are doing, or is this more of like an individual classroom, like the teacher gets to choose? Because that's, I guess, a question for you guys.
I guess the best way to do this would just be to go in maybe opposite order, and we'll just go to a couple of the incumbents, and then we'll wrap up with James with the final remarks on the question. If you want to handle that, Shane, we'll just kind of reverse order on this one.
Well, you're talking like actual curriculum. The state sets a lot of that, what our curriculum is for certain things. Now we have different publishers that we're allowed to look into and see if those are what we want to follow and such. But the question as far as curriculum, a lot of that's set by the state. And so what we have to do as a board, I guess, is to make sure that we follow what the state puts there as a curriculum. And I would think if there's any red flags in there, as a board, we have a right to address those. But that's kind of as far as curriculum you're talking about. That starts with the state.
Okay, Joe.
Well, I feel that the board hires people, superintendents and administration, that they help get in guidelines with the state on what the curriculum has to be. And the board just approves what they bring to us, but we put our trust in who we hire, get the best curriculum for our students.
And finally to James Ward.
Curriculum is handed down basically from the state, it is correct. But what I think the board needs to do is be a little more involved in the actual teaching materials and some of the stuff that's used. There are DEI questions put into a math problem for the third graders. There's, environmental protection stuff, trying to influence kids one way or the other, put into a reading assignments. And it's that in steady little push of those political agendas. And it's nothing that the board, current board, is doing wrong. It's just somebody has got to be looking at that stuff and look into it. We've got one chance with these kids, and we've got to get it right. It doesn't matter, what we think about the stuff. It matters that we're not allowing politics to infiltrate our schools. And that is so prevalent. It's pushed down. I mean, I can give you a personal example. It was about 4 years ago, 5 years ago. Why is beef so bad? Anti-beef article. And it went through, and it was a reading, scholastic reader, to read through the article on how, and the whole thing was how this little girl, she turned vegetarian, and how great that was, and how bad beef was for you. And the whole article went through this. And the question I got asked when I questioned about it? You're not going to make a big deal about that, are you? Well, it is kind of a big deal. We're in the number one beef-producing county in the country. Not the state, the country. It's those types of inadvertent political pushes that it's not the teachers, it's not the school board, it's not the state dictating the curriculum down. It's the actual teaching materials that are getting shoved into these kids and nobody really paying attention and it just getting flowed out there. That's what somebody's got to be looking at. And that's where accountability comes in. And that's where people have got to stand up and just say, you know, enough is enough. We're going to look at this and we're just going to push back when we don't think it's appropriate.
All right, then we're just getting ready to wrap up our Valentine Community Schools Candidates Forum here on KBSH Radio, Valentine, Nebraska. Appreciate you listening in for this event. And as we said, we're just getting ready to wrap things up with final comments. So we'll start with Joe. And again, each candidate will get 2 minutes to give their final comments. Joe?
Okay, well, I just want to, basically, I want to commend our superintendent, administration, and teachers, and parents. Raising children is a tough job, and teaching children is a tough job. I feel like our schools are top-notch. I don't feel like we should be upset with anything we're doing, because I commend our students and our teachers, and I just want to continue being an advocate on the school board, and to be here for parents, teachers, everyone, and work hard to complete the goals for our students.
Shane, final comments.
First of all, I guess I want to thank KVSH for allowing us to do this and allowing what we have to say, our opinions on things, to be broadcast out to the public to help them when they get their ballots to have a little more information on each candidate. With that, I think my 8 years of experience being on the board, I think, brings some things to the table that helps with the future of budgeting, with negotiating with admin, negotiating with teachers. And I would just like to actually thank the community. Has been very supportive of our board. I'd like to thank the community. And I think we're in a really good spot with our schools. We worked hard to keep our buildings in check. They are old. It takes money when you have something. I want to respect the taxpayers' dollars. I don't want to build anything new, but if you have something there, it has to be kept up. And our reports that we're getting back from our kids that are moved on, whether it is the college, we're getting good reports back to our principal, and I think that says a lot for our school. So I just want to thank everybody and have a safe evening.
Lindy Elliott, your final comments?
Yeah, I would like to also thank KVSH for allowing this opportunity. Thank you guys. This is great. I also would just like to ask for your vote for Valentine Community School Board this in the next couple weeks. I'm just a mom of lots of young little girls and just want to make sure they're safe. And I just feel like this is my opportunity to be a voice for them and also the other kids in the school system, and also just to be a supportive person for the teachers and admin, and, face things with a level head and a budget-friendly mind. And just a positive person to come touch base with. So anyway, I appreciate your vote, and thank you.
All right, and James Ward, final comments of the night, fall on your shoulders.
I'd like to thank, KVSH and the community also and stuff, and I'd like to also thank the other three candidates up here. You know, it takes something to come out here and to actually answer questions, to be accountable, to let people know where you stand on issues. Without participating in these forums and this stuff, nobody knows where you really stand on the issues. You're not held accountable, and you're not frankly doing your job. I bring a unique set of skills and an education background that I think will serve the community, serve the Valentine Community School very well. I have a Juris Doctorate. I actually still keep a license to practice law in the state of Nebraska. You know, those of you that I've been a plumber for, it kind of surprises them sometimes. But it's not about being the smartest person in the room. It's not about, you know, locking into, you know, it's this way or the highway. It's about being able to work with board members. It's about being able to work with the different personalities. It's being able to read the fine print on all these grants that we're getting, know what we're getting ourselves into when we're getting into them. Every one of these grants we've gotten to help with our school comes with a set of conditions. We have to know what those are, and we have to know what they are before we're reacting to what they are. And all of a sudden, we've got additional testing we've got to do, or we've got additional surveys we've got to do for kids. So I'm asking for your vote. And I'm asking it for one simple reason. I think I am one of the best candidates for the school board. I think I bring a unique set of skills that will serve the school. It'll serve the community. And I promise you, I will advocate for the students. I will advocate for the parents, and I will advocate for the teachers. We have some of the best teachers probably in the state working in our school system. And it doesn't matter who they are. They all got into teaching because they love kids. But everybody needs to be accountable for what they do. And that's the bottom line.
All right, again, thank you to James Ward, Lindy Elliott, Shane Keim, and Joe Hand, candidates for the Valentine Community Schools Board of Education. Your ballots will come out on Wednesday, so by the weekend you might start seeing those, or the first of next week. We do encourage you to get out and exercise your right and privilege to vote in the upcoming election as well. And again, thanks to all of our candidates, all of those that had submitted questions for us to get through the program as well tonight. Just as Zach said to begin, we're not going to be able to do our city council candidate forum on Wednesday night because of some open meetings issues there. So we're going to try to shoot for a week from tonight for that city council one. But again, thanks to all of our school board candidates. Appreciate all you guys being here. And don't forget to get out and vote. We'll turn things back to the studios of KVSH Radio. This has been a public service feature.